Pleasant afternoon once again. Let me just remind you, we have for you Animal Craze, brought to you the kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing. And of course, Gail Hunt will be your presenter. She will have her guests with her, and she'll tell you all about the animal world and what's going on with Roberts Manufacturing. So with that, let's say a special good evening to Gail Hunt. Gail, good evening. How are you doing?
Hi, good afternoon, good evening. I am well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am not too bad myself. I see you have some guests with us.
Yeah, yes, I do. I wanted to say, I like the smooth blues you were just playing as well. I like that music. Perfect for a Sunday afternoon.
Why, thank you kindly. Nice, well, yeah, glad, good to have you again. Say. Good to have you again. Before we get started, of course, we have to make sure we get a word from the people who make it possible for us to be on the air. So let's say a special good evening to Roberts Manufacturing and then come back to you and your guest with Animal Craze. Stand by, please.
Sounds good.
3, 4, 3, 5.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts chicken and rice and Vitapet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay, Gail, it's all yours.
Okay, so good afternoon again to all of our listeners and welcome to Animal Craze, the series that, as Gregson said, is all about animals and animal welfare in Barbados. So this afternoon, we're going to be talking about animal abuse and more specifically, how it relates to society as a whole. So we're looking at animal abuse as a societal issue, and then we're going to be coming up with ways to, you know, see if we can eradicate it, and also look at ways that we can address our enforcement of animal cruelty laws. So on the panel today, we have the RSP Inspector, Mr. Wayne Norville. We've also got Karen Whitaker, the director of Ocean Acres, and we should also have joining us, I'm not seeing them at the moment, Dr. Mark Trotman. He is the senior veterinary officer for the Ministry of Agriculture, and Dr. Michelle Bell, who is a veterinarian of many years with Central Vet Clinic. So I'm not seeing Dr. Bell at the moment, so I'm going to begin with, I guess I'm going to have to do things a little bit different as to how I planned. I'm going to start with Karen. Ladies before gentlemen. Actually, no, Michelle's now here and Dr. Trotman. Wonderful. I was just going to say our ladies before gentlemen, let Ms. Whitaker go first. But now that Michelle's here, it's lovely to have you both. So first of all, a nice warm welcome to all of our guests today.
Thank you very much,
Dr. Bell, hi, it's nice to have you with us. So I just wanted to begin, first of all, by giving our listeners an understanding of who you are, the type of work that you do here in Barbados, and also, because the topic is about animal abuse, if you can give us a clear definition as to what that is, what it looks like. If you can unmute, Michelle.
Sorry about that. Good evening, everyone. I've been in private practice for about 18 years at the Central Veterinary Clinic, which, you know, is a small animal practice. In my earlier years, I did do mixed practice, which included farm animals and exotics. Now I primarily just do companion animals, which would be mostly dogs and cats. I've participated over the years in various charity events, community awareness activities, going into schools, etc., talking to students about taking care of animals, etc. And we work closely with all of the animal charities in the island.
All right, sounds great, Michelle. I love the part that you said that you go into schools and things like that, because it's so important that we can educate young minds. So that's brilliant. So can you, now that we have a bit of a background into what you do, as a medical professional, can you give us an understanding of what animal abuse is? Because, you know, everybody's got their own what they think they know it to be, but what actually is animal abuse? How would you define it?
Definition that I took from the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association. They define animal abuse as an important social issue affecting animals, families, and communities. And they stated that animal abuse includes physical abuse, which is non-accidental injury, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, and staging animal fights. Physical abuse includes the infliction of injuries or causing unnecessary pain, including inappropriate methods of training. Sexual abuse includes any sexual conduct with animals which may or may not result in physical injury to the animal. Emotional abuse may include repeated or sustained mental violence, including withholding social interactions. Neglect is the failure to provide adequate levels of food, water, shelter, and veterinary care to animals, causing poor physical condition. And you would imagine that the neglect is what we would see quite often here in our island.
Okay, thank you very much for that very precise definition. And you mentioned social interactions. So when we're talking about social interactions, we're going to be looking at things like, I guess, how a person will interact with a dog in terms of petting it, walking their dog. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, having a dog penned up in a small enclosure all of its life, pretty much, not allowing it to interact with humans, animals, you know, just basically throwing the food and water there. That could constitute a lack of social interaction.
Okay, which then leads to, that comes under the definition of abuse that you just outlined. Great. So when we talk about animal abuse, some people would ask the question, well, why should we care? Why does it matter? You know, all right, we've heard the definition. And, you know, animals don't have feelings. They don't need social interaction. But there's more and more research that's coming to light now that is classifying animals as sentient beings. So when we say that an animal is a sentient being, Dr. Bell, what does that mean?
A sentient being is one that's able to perceive or feel things. Researchers have found that animals are indeed sentient beings. They can experience suffering or joy, show negative and positive emotion to stimuli and to various changes and situations that they are put through.
Okay, so they're aware. So when an animal is suffering, not just in terms of the physical pain of being beaten, when they're suffering on an emotional level, they're very much aware of what's going on.
Correct.
Okay, all right. That's really important for people to understand, because then they understand why we need to do certain things with our pets and, you know, so we can have happier animals, I guess, you know what I mean? Animals that are cared for, not abused. So an example for me that comes to mind is a dog that's tied all day, which is a common occurrence in Barbados. And I fully understand and get that if you do not have a fully enclosed garden, then the safest thing obviously would be for the dog to be tied. And I say tied, not chained. And we could talk about the difference and why it's important later if we get an opportunity. But when a dog is tied all day, bearing in mind everything that you've just said, Dr. Bell, what can we expect from the mental state of that dog?
So dogs need exercise just like we do.
Yeah.
They need an outlet. So if they're tied on a very short leash, because, I mean, you can have a dog that's tied, say, on a running lead, and they're able to actually move around and get good exercise.
Right.
But if they're tied too short, then they can't actually, you know, get rid of any of the energy that's built up.
I've got you. Yeah.
They can end up with psychological disorders, you know, aggression to anybody or to any other animal, which some people want to see. Some people think, okay, yes, this dog is going to then protect, you know, be a really good protect dog because it's acting in an aggressive way. But then you have to think about the emotional effect on this animal.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because I had this discussion last week with Shanika, who is running a dog, Shanika Thompson, who's running a dog training business. She's very new to the industry. But one of the things that she had touched upon was this thing about dogs when they're barking, this reactive type of to stimuli, you know, particularly out of boredom, so the dogs that are tied. And she said they do not make good guard dogs, you know, because they're not actually guard dogs. They're just reacting to stimuli. But she said that if she was to, and she's tested the theory, that if he was to actually go onto the property, the dog's not going to do anything. Well, it can't because it's tied. But even if it managed to break the tie, it's still not going to do anything because it's not actually a guard dog. It's just reacting to the stimuli because of the, you know, because it's kind of like tied all day, bored out of its mind. And so it's just overstimulated. So that's very important as well. And I just like listeners to know that if they want to reach out and they have a question for our panel, they can do so on 262-4862. That's 262-4862. And just before we have our first break, I wanted to ask you the types of abuse that you're seeing in your medical practice, Dr. Bro.
I can sometimes see underfeeding. So you would see some bones showing, and that's not necessarily, I'm talking about bones showing when the dog doesn't actually have an illness to cause that, you know, so it's just lack of proper nutrition. Also lack of exercise or confinement. So then, you know, if they come to the vet, you can see it's overwhelming for them because here they are finally loose, you know?
Yeah.
There's also lack of proper care or overall neglect leading to overload of ectoparasites. I have to say this is not as prevalent now as it used to be, say, 15 years ago. With the advent of better products for flea and tick control, it is not as bad as it used to be. Also, allowing dogs to roam, not knowing their whereabouts, is really a form of neglect, because then they can get into poison, be hit by a car, or bitten up by dogs, right? So that's just a point to note, that you shouldn't really just allow your dogs to roam for miles and miles and not know where they are, because they can get into things that can harm them.
Yeah, I understand. All right, thank you so much indeed. So I'm just going to go over to Gregson to see where we're at the moment in terms of having our first break.
Yes, thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
All right.
And then we'll come back and we'll be joined by Karen Whitaker.
Very well. You're listening to Animal Craze on The Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM. Of course, repeated on Tuesday evenings on The Beat 104.1 FM, brought to you with a kind compliment of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay. Of course, you can reach us at 266-4862. 266-4862. That's our WhatsApp. And of course, the podcast of VOB's podcast will have a recording of the show if you so desire to listen to it via that medium. Gail?
Okay, thank you very much, Gregson. And I'm now going to go over to Karen Whitaker. She is the director of Ocean Acres. So welcome to Animal Craze, Karen. It's nice to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Okay, so I know who you are. And I know that the other panels know who you are. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and also about Ocean Acres, the sanctuary that you run up in beautiful St. John?
Sure. Well, I've been in Barbados for nearly 20 years now, but I only took over Ocean Acres 2 years ago. We're just going into our third year. So at Ocean Acres, we rescue and rehabilitate dogs and cats. We have a lot of dogs and cats. When we took over, we started with 45 dogs and 60 cats. We now have 200 dogs and about 160 something cats. I can't keep up with the headcount.
Wow.
We're extremely busy. We have pretty high turnover, which is good. More incoming always than outgoing. And yeah, that's what we do on a daily basis. So all of the things that Dr. Bell was saying in terms of the issues that she sees, we see them as well. We maybe see them
because
we're usually taking them to her.
That's right. Okay, then. So that leads me to the next question about the Ocean Acres community outreach that you do. And that's become a very fundamental aspect of the sanctuary. Can you tell us exactly what goes on with your community outreach and why it's so important?
Honestly, everything that we do is community outreach. Everything. Because all of our outreach come to us via a human being. I mean, I think there's probably two that kind of gave themselves up and just appeared at the gate, but I'm sure probably somebody had done that. So everything is community outreach. Somebody calls us. Usually I get a phone call, all the calls come to me. And there is every kind of human sadness and social issues that you could imagine. There is poverty, cruelty, there's abuse, there's threats from neighbors, there's people moving home, there's people who have been evicted, there's people getting divorced, there's people who are sick and ill that can't manage their dogs. Every kind of possible human situation that you can imagine is what leads dogs and cats needing somewhere else to be. So
I'm so glad that you've mentioned that as well, because one of the things is about the societal issues around animal abuse, because people like to isolate it.
There is no dog issue that does not stem from a human societal issue of some kind.
Okay.
It just isn't.
Right. So that's why it's important.
Mm-hmm. Whether that's overbreeding, people do that either on purpose or through apathy. I can't really bring myself to say that it's accidental, because we all know where babies come from, don't we? So, people sometimes don't take the necessary steps to prevent it. They perhaps don't know how to prevent it. But every single issue that we see stems from some, I'm not saying people at fault, I'm saying it's a human issue. We have so many people in tears on a daily basis on the phone to me. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Sometimes I'm in tears too, who are desperately don't want to get rid of their pets, but the people next door have said they're going to poison them or something like that. So this is abuse of people as well. It's not just abuse of the dogs. These poor dogs.
Yeah, this is why I'm looking forward to talking with Dr. Trotman and Mr. Norville a little bit later down about this, because, by looking at our animal enforcement laws and how we can make them work for the public, we will actually be helping these people that you're talking about as well. So some of the outreach, you can't do it on your own. You have to work with, volunteers. So tell us about how the volunteers are assisting and supporting you in the work that you're doing.
Okay, well, to be honest, we do an awful lot with a very small team. There's not thousands of us. We have a few dedicated volunteers. Some people can do more than others because everybody has a life, So we have some people go out in the field and will actually rescue dogs. Maybe if dogs have been abandoned or dumped or been spotted or something like that, they'll go out and sometimes spend can be months trying to catch a dog or something like that. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. Other times we have volunteers who will deliver food to people who can't afford to, keep their dog fed. They want us to do it. We just haven't got space to take the dog at that time, so we take food for it. We also take worm medicine and flea and tick medicine and things like that. So whatever it needs to keep the dogs in a as best situation we can until perhaps we can take them, because we can't take them if we have nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
So we have other volunteers who do amazing work in terms of administration, like managing and creating and updating our website, all of the accounts. And don't let's forget the whole spay and neuter project, which is the most important thing we're doing.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, organising the clinics and things like that, we're at the beginning of it. We started officially in September. It is, I think, the most important thing that any of us can do to control the population here in Barbados. It's very much involved in educating people about... Oh, dear, excuse me.
It's okay.
Educating people that it's not absolutely essential that your female dog continues to have puppies forever and ever. We've set ourselves a target of 5 years, and we want to spay and neuter as many cats and dogs as we possibly can. And we've been so fortunate. So far, we've got off to a fantastic start. So many of the vets on island have supported us, helped us, volunteered. It's been amazing. The response has been really good.
That's really good to know.
Some great ideas for the future. It's only going to get better. More and more people are wanting to help and join in. And I think if we push this really hard, we can start to see some change. Our focus really is on three things mainly: the spay and neuter, education, and of course, rescuing the ones that are here already and need some help. That is damage control, and we would like that to get less and less. That's our intention. Through the other two things that I just mentioned, the spay and neuter and the education, is the answer to there being less dogs needing so much help. And cats. Don't let's forget the cats, please.
Let's not forget the cats. And it's really important, the spay and neutering program really is, because a lot of persons, especially when they have cats, for example, they might be like feeding one cat, you know, a female cat, and then another one comes along. And before they know it, they've got like 10 cats, they've got a colony. And that's when you get the call, isn't it? You get the call when it's about 5 or 10 cats now that they can't manage.
More like 40 cats.
40, one person with 40 cats. Wow.
Small number. We get like 40 and 50 and 60 cats, people calling us because they're feeding them. And you see, these
colonies, neutering.
Well, when they've got to this point, these colonies aren't healthy. They're diseased and usually a bit of a mess. And there's no happy endings there. How can we begin to sort that out? They can't afford to spay and neuter them. So it's a huge, huge task for us.
Right.
So, you know, that's the situation that we're presented with. So we just have to, you know, all do the best that we can with it. But going forward, we would like people to understand, and we'd like there to be options for them so that that doesn't have to be the case.
Right. Okay. So now moving on, Karen, I know that there's something big happening with Ocean Acres soon, and it's called the Freedom Flight, and it's the second one that you're doing. So let our listeners know about that.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that we've had the support of Mr. Maloney this time, who's sponsoring the flight for us. I didn't think that we'd ever be able to do a second one. And also our friends in Canada who support us so much with this. But I really want to stress so strongly that this is not the answer. We're doing this out of a sense of saturation, and we have no other option.
Yeah.
We have nowhere else for these dogs to go. We can't ask other shelters to help us because they're completely full too. And on a daily basis, we have
What's
more
the process
of what?
So, because you're talking about the Freedom Flight, but people might not actually understand what it is. So, can you explain to people what it is?
Yes, I'm sorry. We're partnered with foster-based rescue organisations in Canada. So,
right,
that we have in our shelter. Will go on a private chartered plane to Canada, where they go immediately into a secured foster home for them. No dogs get on a plane without a landing place. Everybody goes into a home. They go into a foster home and they get on that plane vetted and healthy and well. So we're not sending sick animals. None of the older ones will go. None of the ones that we're a little bit worried about or have any issues or are too nervous or anything like that will go. So we're selective about the ones that we send. When they get...
Hit pause one moment. I just want to step back just for one moment. So these dogs, where do they come from?
These are all the dogs that I was talking to you about in the very beginning, the ones that all the people phone up about that are moving house
right.
or they're poison or are walking the street. Doing for months or
so they're not necessarily from this sanctuary. They're actually community dogs as well that people that currently have.
They are community dogs, yes. We've got dogs all over the country that we are have on hold that will be going on this flight, and they are also some of those have made it into our shelter. So they will be dogs from Ocean Acres, but they're all Ocean Acres dogs because they're all being supported by Ocean Acres wherever they are. We have dogs bought.
Of course, right, yeah.
We're very fortunate that people help us, give us discounted rates, all sorts of things to board our dogs in their boarding kennels, and they're amazingly supportive, which is wonderful. So we're appreciative of that as well, because we're a nuisance to a lot of people, and I'm sure Dr. Bell will testify to that.
So once the dogs have flown now, and the ones from Ocean Acres as well, because they're going to be included, that means that you really have more room in the shelter again to help other dogs. Yeah, it's like a rotation kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the as I keep saying, the aim is not to fill the shelter. The aim is not to need to fill the shelter, but we will at this. Mm-hmm. We will. Yeah. After the last flight, when we sent 200 dogs, 10 days later we were full again.
So, right. So that explains to listeners exactly the extent of the problem that we have. So it's like we have like a serious case of abandonment of a population, dogs that are basically not wanted. Yeah.
I have about easily 10 calls a day from people who want me to take their dogs for various reasons.
Yeah, you've explained some of those reasons as well. Yeah. Okay, then I'm now going to go over to Gregson to see where we're at, because we've got two more guests and I can see that the clock is ticking away. So Gregson, let me know if you are ready for us to go into our next break.
Yes, indeed. So please stand by.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's Orvita Pet Dog Food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's Chicken and Rice and VitaPet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
You're listening to Animal Craze, brought to you the kind compliments of Robert's Manufacturing, and your host is Gail Hunt.
Hey, thank you, Gregson. And I'm now going to go over to somebody, a man who really doesn't need too much of an introduction because he's so very much well known and well loved in the Barbados community. But I'm going to introduce him as Mr. Wayne Norval, and he is the Chief Inspector for the RSPCA. So many people listening will have come into contact, will know Wayne through the work that he does. But Wayne, for those who don't, because there may still be a few, can you tell us a little bit about the type of work that you do, and also the kinds of animals suffering? Cameron and Dr. Bell have touched on that. So if you could just elaborate, and because you're one of the frontline workers dealing with animal abuse in Barbados.
He's muted, so you're going to have to ask him to unmute. Mr. Norville, just unmute your mic for us, please.
Let me start over. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please. Loud and clear.
He is. Hello, Mr. Norville. So did you hear anything that I said then?
Yes, I did hear you, yes.
Okay, great. That's over to you.
Okay, let me start by saying thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening attentively. And I can vouch for almost everything that was said previously. Okay. I heard Karen touting her the number of years that she was in this business. Well, this year would be my 53rd year out of 65 years that I was unbroken service. So I would have seen lots of cruelty in my life. The thing is, today, the type of cruelty that I see is, it's not the, let's put it this way. At the beginning, the cruelty was lack of knowledge. People didn't think, as you said earlier, that animals had a soul or they felt pain and stuff like that. And it was difficult to get through to the average person. Now that there's a whole lot more education, there are television programs, that I think the type of abuse I'm seeing now is with people who now think they are taking care of their animals. Not most right. of them. They think now before, all dogs ran wild. And that's when 1979, when they brought in the Animal Control Center. But since then, we've had a decrease. We have a decrease in stray dogs on the street.
Right.
But now we're having the problems with dogs in homes, if you understand okay. what I'm saying. Right. Because yeah. a neighbor would call about a dog that's they've seen that's in bad, poor condition. And my job is to respond to that call. Now, we know that the majority of people in Barbados will be at work during 8 to 4. You're lucky if you could find someone at home. If you don't find someone at home, this card is the card I would leave.
Okay.
Inform the person, this would be your first visit. Inform the person that I've been there's a problem, and I need to speak to them about that problem.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people will return the call. There are some people, like any other situation, they wouldn't return the call. Sometimes they don't find the card because it's in the mailbox, and they don't go to the mailbox. But sometimes people will not. They'll make up in their mind. They throw away the card. Like, you know, some people throw away the ticket. Right. And say,
they're not taking it seriously. I understand what you mean, yeah.
So what I will do is I'll go back with this card, which is pink.
Okay, and so they start off with a yellow card, and then they get a pink card second time.
Right. So at the end, it says failing to do so, which means get in contact with me.
Yeah.
Will lead to further action.
Right.
Okay. Very seldom, as I said, I have to leave a second card. Very seldom. The thing is, most people that you see have dogs. They don't know a whole lot about them.
Yeah.
They think that, okay, Miss Jones has a Doberman and nobody can't go to her house. But she doesn't know, they don't know that Miss Jones took time to train her dog. Miss Jones' dog is not tied 24 hours a day. Miss Jones spends quality time with her dog. Miss Jones' dog eats properly, and it's also has medical attention.
Yeah. When it moves. Yeah. Yeah.
So they go and they acquire the dog, and they take it home. They don't spend a lot of time with it. So whenever the dog sees them, the dog is happy. But they see this happiness as being, it's irritating. They don't understand the reason why the dog is so happy. The dog is happy because you got back home safely.
Yeah, because dogs are very social animals and they're pack animals. And one thing that dogs love is interacting with their family members, their pack.
They're happy.
But wait, I just want to hit pause as well with you as well on this, because Dr. Bell had said something very fundamental at the very beginning in terms of the level of care that's required. And then Karen Whitaker touched upon it when she does her community outreach, which is that oftentimes now people, their intentions are good. All right, we all have good intentions to start off with, you know, and they might start off thinking they want to have a dog, but what they don't understand, and it's often because of lack of education, is what you're talking about now, the level of care, the fact that we do have something called tick season, the fact that we do have a disease that can kill puppies called parvovirus, the fact that if you do not deal with the tick fever, the dog can get the tick fever and the dog can die, can suffer from anemia. People don't know that excessive fleas can cause an animal to die because the fleas keep sucking the blood. So they keep thinking, well, the dog seemed good yesterday, but now it's way tired and ain't got no vet money. Then you know what I mean? And Karen gets a call perhaps, you know, or Dr. Bell gets a call, what's going on with the dog? So it's all of these things that you're talking about come down to money, don't they? You know, can people afford a dog? That's one of the questions we need to be also looking at, because of the types of care that's required. All of it comes down to, you know, some kind of financial outlet.
Yes, that is true. Finances are a problem. But what I'm saying is, I've seen situations, I've dealt with situations where as long as you speak to that person,
yeah,
and you let that person know that if you start right at the beginning,
yeah,
if you start right at the beginning, because if you start right, if you take your dog to get its shots, take your dog to any type of medication it needs and stuff like that, to rid of tick and flea infestation and stuff. If you do that,
yeah,
from home, or if you make sure the surroundings the dog are kept in, are clean,
yeah,
then basically you wouldn't have that problem with the dog contacting Parvo, because it would have had all its shots. Right?
Yeah, so that's education and knowing what to do. Yeah.
That would be less money you would have to look for, right? Because as soon as the dog
starting right,
it was money, right? So if you start right, more than likely, you will end right.
And there's help available as well. I mean, this is one of the things I want people to know as well, that there is help available, you know, and it hasn't got to be kind of like that everybody knows your business. You can make a discreet call, you know, to one of the shelters. You can ask the vet some questions over the phone, get advice. Don't just allow your animals to suffer, because it does come under animal abuse. Dr. Trott will be talking about in a short while about our Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act that we have in place, which people might not be aware of, because at the end of the day, you know, people are liable to prosecution, are they not, when for abuse, for, you know, animal cruelty?
Yes, they are liable to prosecution. The only problem with that is our court system. You see, and people, if you think, as Karen said about society, the ills of society, if you think about the amount of reports ones that our driver could accumulate, right? The person that is committing this crime knows that it will take a while before that person has to go to court with the backlog.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if we had a situation where these things were handled quickly, where people knew that once your court date is set, which would be in 3 weeks' time, you'd be prepared to either, once you're found guilty, prepared to either pay a fine, or if it needs for you to be incarcerated for the crime that you committed, the abuse you did towards an animal, then you go. But people know.
You're right. It's the same as any type of law.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wayne. It's a type. I mean, at the end of the day, laws are only as good as how they're actually upheld, you know? And if it's a case of, like, I go out of my way to report an animal that's been abused, and 5 years later now, this is still going on. It's not really a deterrent for persons, you know. It's kind of like, well, that's not that they're going to forget about that. That's just going to be whatever. So I'm looking at, from what everybody's been saying so far, I'm hearing that a lot of education is ongoing and needed, you know, and that the types of suffering that are happening with animals are caused by different reasons. So you get some people that are deliberately will poison an animal, you know, out of maliciousness, or the tide of the cat or the dog going onto their property. And then you've got some persons who do not understand the sociological, physiological, psychological needs of the dog, you know, that the dog needs to be walked, it needs to have social interactions as part of its mental and physical well-being. Then you get some people that simply love their animal, but they can't afford to take care of it, and that leads to the animal being abused.
Yes. The thing is, you just mentioned poisoning. Now, there are people who will definitely poison an animal. But then there are people who only simply put down slug it in the garden. But if the dog was responsible, the dog would not be on that person's property.
So that's correct.
Responsibility, you see?
Yeah, when you have your animals loose, yeah.
The one way we have to deal with is the animal control center. The animal control center, they are the ones that are supposed to deal with licensing and making sure that people have to keep the dogs on their property, you know, stuff like that. If we cannot solve this problem, if we do not have
we need to work together. Yeah,
of the animal controls has to be working properly.
Okay, Mr. Norville, I just want to stop you for one pause because I really would like Dr. Trotman to have a good, you know, time to speak about the enforcement, and then I would like everybody just to kind of like round off with some solutions. So I'm going to go over to Gregson now just to see if we can have our final break, and then when we come back, we'll have Dr. Mark Trotman, the Senior Veterinary Officer for the Ministry of Agriculture.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Yes, we've got another word coming your way after this one in about 10 minutes, but it's back over to you, Gail.
Okay, thank you very much. And Dr. Trotman, I want to say thank you for your patience. It's nice to have you on Animal Craze. I think this is the first time that you've actually been on. So I'm really looking forward to hearing, because you're the person that kind of like is the, well, you're the Senior Veterinary Officer for the Ministry of Agriculture. So I know that the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act is something that you are very much involved with. So I wanted you to begin with just giving a brief overview of your role and also telling us a little bit more about the Act, why it's in place, what it does, and how people can report abuse. Thank you.
Thanks, Gail, very much for having me on. I appreciate the invite. First, let me give a quick brief overview of what we do at the Veterinary Services. We are responsible for a wide range of issues. We're responsible for animal health, obviously, animal disease control and prevention, surveillance of animals, veterinary public health matters such as zoonotic diseases, diseases that can be transmitted between animals and people. Those are issues that we deal with as well too. Control of veterinary medicines, veterinary drugs, anti and post-mortem inspection of animal products for human consumption also falls in the area that we have an interest in. What else? International trade, import and export of animals and animal products and movement of goods internationally. And of course, animal welfare, import inspections and animal welfare. From our perspective, from an animal welfare standpoint, the veterinary services tends to focus primarily on animal welfare from a production animal standpoint, livestock. Cattle, goats, sheep, birds, etc. And all animals, I just want to reiterate comments that were made earlier, all animals are sentient beings. All animals are sentient, all higher animals, I should say. Mainly mammals and even birds are sentient and suffer pain, suffer from stressful situations. And it is when you do something which is contrary to the normal behavior of the animal or inflicts pain or stress on the animal, that is what is an issue with respect to animal welfare. That's what needs to be addressed with animal welfare. So it's not simply a matter of beating an animal or poisoning an animal or even refusing to feed an animal. How you house an animal is an issue. Animals need to be able to exercise their normal behavior. That behavior is up for interpretation, and it depends on the laws of each individual country, that there are certain international standards, but it should be at least able to exercise its normal behavioral activities, get up, turn around, stand up, move around, exercise, express itself in some form or fashion. And so when animals are not able to exercise their normal behavioral patterns, then that could be construed as an issue with respect to a breach of animal welfare, issues with respect to animal welfare, and even cruelty to animals. So these are the things that we have to bear in mind. So as I said before, our responsibility at the veterinary services, what we have taken on, I should say, is when it comes to reports of abuse and neglect of livestock. We don't have the resources to. There are enough. Bain is obviously a very capable person. There are enough resources, I would think, once we can get it properly organized to investigate issues of cruelty and neglect of pets, dogs and cats and so on. I think, and we can talk more about how that can be better addressed. But our resources extend to cases of abuse and neglect of livestock.
Dr. Trotman, can I just ask you a question there? You mentioned livestock, so we're talking about cows, we're talking about goats, black-bellied sheep, pigs. Does that include horses as well?
Yes, it includes horses as well too. Yeah.
Okay.
We will include the horses, although horses are not really used as production animals anymore. They're really companion or competition animals. And so it's a bit of a gray area there. That's not to say that the veterinary, our responsibility is across the board, and it doesn't mean that we cannot and do not have influence or pay attention to
primary focus.
Yes, we will get involved if it's a high profile situation, if it's something that has come to the attention of the minister, then he will probably ask me to investigate or to intervene in that case.
We had that case with the monkeys. I remember that. That's important. So the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, what can you give a very brief definition of what that is for people that may never have heard of it before?
Sure. It is exactly that, the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, and it basically is a piece of legislation which outlines what constitutes cruelty under this legislation, what will allow an investigator to intervene and take action on if these provisions are, if there's a breach in the provisions of the act.
So we've had
discussions about that all along. We know things like beating, neglect, overworking an animal, tethering an animal excessive, for extensive periods of time, abandonment, underfeeding, malnourishment. I can go on, but lack of exercise can be construed, neglect or abuse. Etc. Right. So it's a whole layer. They're all specified in this legislation as to what would constitute.
Okay, and persons can access this legislation online. Just so as you know, for listeners, if you actually go onto Google, just type in Barbados Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, it will actually take you to that site. So you mentioned abandonment, because one of the things that the shelters are dealing with constantly are dogs that are abandoned. And I'm not sure the reason why everybody's case is individual, but often what happens is a dog that's been abandoned, people think that the dog's going to do well, but often within a very short period of time they suffer from dehydration and they become extremely emaciated. So abandonment, you mentioned that's on the act, so anybody that abandons their dog, then they are liable then under the Prevention of Cruelties to Animals Act to face prosecution should it go that way. Should somebody report them?
Yes, you can do. You would have to be able to demonstrate very carefully that the person has deliberately abandoned the animal. But if you can make a case that the animal has been deliberately abandoned, then they can be prosecuted under this legislation. Absolutely.
Okay, then. Right. So now, Mr. Noble had touched on this, and I know that you certainly don't have all of the answers. I mean, what we would like to do is actually present a report, on some things that we think might help to the minister, to Minister Indah. one of the concerns that a lot of people have is that when they report animal abuse to the police station, say a case number is then generated, etc. What happens next? Do you know what the process is? Say I make the telephone call. There's a dog that I've taken a video of it. I send you the video. What's the next step? So what can I expect as a member of the public that's reported the abuse?
Well, I can only speak for if we receive a case, if we receive a report of abuse, whether it be through a phone call or whether it be from an email or we'd like first of all, we want to get as much information as possible surrounding this particular case.
Okay.
The first thing that I would do is to dispatch one of my senior animal health assistants to go and investigate the case. Now, I'm talking right now about situations with respect to livestock. Obviously, this is where we most commonly do this. Now, our approach with livestock is it's always moral suasion. If we do determine that abuse or neglect has taken place, we will try to contact the owner, advise them, educate them on proper way to take care of the animals, follow up to see whether they're taking care of them. So as a last resort, if we find that the owner is deliberately refusing to comply with our recommendations, we can and will seize the animal and impound it pending either prosecution or ultimate disposal of the animal or moving the animal to a separate premises. That's not something we like to do until we have had an opportunity for the owner to correct the ways.
Yeah, sometimes we understand, Ms. Whitaker certainly and for all of our panel understand the importance of education and working with people, because oftentimes abuse is not always a kind of like deliberate act. Sometimes it's based on that lack of education and awareness. So your ministry handles primarily livestock. So if a person wants to only act, it says that there's different people that are authorized to handle animal abuse. So they would be police officers, animal control unit, I believe, and the RSPC inspector, Mr. Norville. So it's at this point where we've got a few minutes left. I wanted to open up the forum. So if anybody wanted to kind of like just have a general discussion about ways that we can get this, this matter of enforcement, because the legislation's there. It's in place. But what seems to be the problem is once things are reported, what happens next? And this seems to put people off from reporting in the first place. Does anybody want to kind of like start us on that discussion for the last few minutes?
Yes, pardon me, Gail. Before you get to your open discussion there, we do need to take a short break and then come back and close off the show. But we will come right back to you after a word for more sponsors, okay?
Thank you.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay, time is almost upon us, so let's go right back over to Gail and her panel.
Okay, then. So animal abuse as a societal issue and the ways that we can actually look at enforcing our animal welfare laws. Anybody want to kind of like help us close out on this with some solutions towards how we can report abuse and get a satisfactory conclusion with cases? Mm-hmm. Miss Whitaker?
I don't know what to say, Lily, on this. So I'm probably not the best person to ask. I don't know where we would really go with this.
Okay. Gail?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think I would start by saying once a case is reported to me and I respond to that case, and the person, as I said before, if the person refuses to adhere to the what we were told, then I would, especially if the person becomes aggressive, I would seek the assistance of a police officer.
Right.
After doing that, I would more than likely take the animal, because the police officer is there, I will take the animal to the clinic and we will examine the animal and see what is has to be done. And in the meantime, I try to get in contact with the owner. Sometimes they play the fool, they just, and it comes to the point where I just say, well, the dog is not going back there because of the conditions.
Yeah, that's one solution.
Mm-hmm. And the dog is not going back there. If the owner wants the dog back, then, you know, they will have to prove to me that they are ready to ask to have that dog back, because they know now that I am keeping an eye on that dog.
Yeah.
Right? So they know somebody is watching. The problem is that people do things because they believe nobody is seeing them. You know, and you know, like, so my the way I deal with it is to remove the animal. If they don't, because I can remove the animal to have it examined to see what is wrong with it, right?
Yeah,
I could see some of the problems the dog might be encountering, but you know, I will move the dog. I will take the dog to the clinic, right?
I said, so I understand that's good, but it's not a solution for us, is it? What would we do?
The thing is,
let me make a comment on that one, because I think there's a lot that you can do. There are a number of people who have been identified as authorized persons under this act. The act does not speak to any particular department it falls under the ministry or the Minister of Agriculture. But the Veterinary Services is not the official department responsible for this act. What that means is both good and bad. The good part is that, you know, a number of almost all registered veterinary surgeons are authorized under this act to intervene and to investigate and even to seize an animal if it is in breach of the legislation. All of my officers are certain agricultural officers in the ministry, the Animal Control Center, the RSPCA inspectors. These people are carefully chosen based on their experience and expertise, qualifications and expertise. They're not a random set of people that want to be on the list that are on the list. And so these are people who have the training, who have the knowledge about animal welfare. And my suggestion would be for organizations like Ocean Acres and the others is to partner with these authorized persons. Do the investigations, take the photographs, record the incidents, and then bring along the authorized person who can call the police to assist if it's a confrontational issue. They have every ability to ask the police to accompany them if you feel that you're going to get into a confrontational situation, to assist in intervening. So that would be a way to go forward. Partner with the authorized persons that do exist in order to investigate these cases.
That would be helpful. A list of the authorized people that we can contact would be really helpful.
Sure.
Okay, that sounds good. That's good for the public as well, because oftentimes people don't really know who to contact. They might not have known that they can actually telephone their vet to start that ball rolling. Do you know what I mean? Because this is about change, you know, because we know the legislation's there. We know that everybody's working really hard to help animals. And we know that there are some good things happening out there in terms of the level of, you know, lots of people are walking their dogs. The vets, the RSPCA has a long waiting list for spaying and neutering, which is a clear indication that people are aware of the importance of doing it. So it's just kind of like fine-tuning and working more cohesively so that the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act is actually a kind of like workable. It's kind of like doing what it's meant to be doing. Dr. Bell, I see you wanted to say something.
Yes, I just wondered if we could touch briefly on the issue of prosecution. And what could be steps taken to prosecute someone who has repeatedly show neglect or abuse towards their animals.
Okay. Dr. Trotman or Mr. Norville, Dr. Trotman, we've only got about 1 minute.
Ah, we have less than 1 minute, so we have to be very quick about it.
I think it all boils down to a collection of evidence, photographic and documentary evidence to document this activity. In other words, you need to, and perhaps we need to have a discussion, Michelle, within the Veterinary Association in some training on animal welfare investigations, so that you know exactly how to collect evidence and make it prosecutable, so that you have enough information to present to the police. The police will take over from there and turn it over to the Crown Council, who will do the prosecution.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Trotman. Gail Hunt, your presenter, and she has had her guest, Dr. Michelle Bell, and of course, Karen Whitaker, and everybody knows Mr. Wayne Norville. Gail, your parting words, because we are definitely out of time and we got to run away. So, your parting words, please.
I just want to say happy Sunday to everyone. Enjoy your evening. I'd like to thank our panel. I'd like to thank you, Gregson. And like I said, the show's repeated on the Beat 104.1 Tuesday 7 and is on the VLB podcast. Thank you all so much, and we will continue this discussion.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening, everybody. That was a presentation of Animal Craze. Of course, it came to you with the kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but is less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vitapet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?